Let me tell you a story about my dad that many here will not know, although some will have knowledge of varying degrees of detail. This is an eyewitness, first-person account. I was there when it happened. I saw it happen, and I saw the things that followed after that momentous day. I've had two dads officially, while officially really having only one dad, the man we remember today. On that day, I got my second dad. My first dad I had until I was 17, and he was 41. That was my natural dad. He did things with me like dads do. He took me to the golf course and let me take a 5-iron and hit a ball over the creek on number 2 when I was really almost not big enough to swing the club. Before joining the country club, he used to take me to the Harmon Field, which is a recreational park in Tryon, and hit golf balls to me for me to catch in my baseball glove. Today, that would be reported by some passerby as child abuse. But it was actually quite fun and helped prepare me for my stellar 4-year Little League baseball career. He took me fishing on Lake Adger, where we also camped at times with his dad, Papa. We went on boat rides and caught some fish. I learned that it's not a good thing if you get out on the lake far from the dock and the motor fails, which happened once. I also learned something about fishing for catfish late at night using soap for bait. I enjoy those fishing trips, but along with the joy, they helped me to understand that I really didn't want to fish more than play golf. He worked hard and provided for us along with my mom. We were cared for and blessed with loving parents. I got my second dad in 1974, I think sometime in the early fall. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Jesus said that no man can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Further, the Bible says that when we believe in Jesus Christ unto salvation, we get a new heart. I'm not talking about a new blood pump here, but the engine of our souls, what drives our spirit and forms our desires and actions in this world. After a friend of mine had heart surgery, I went to visit him in the hospital, and he said the doctor informed him after the surgery that he had a new heart, which my friend replied, I got one of those a long time ago. The Bible says our first heart, our natural heart, has no desire for God. That heart loves the world and whatever our old heart desires. This is the heart we are all born with, although it manifests its sin in different ways with every person. We are alienated from an awesomely holy God by our sin. When I got my second dad, the whole world radically changed. My first dad was still there, but he was in so many ways no longer at all like my old dad. So if you're keeping up, first birth, first dad, second birth, second dad. First dad, old heart, second dad, new heart. More about that in a moment. You may ask at this point what my dad did to start this process that led him to becoming a new person in 1974. You know, people are always wondering what they have to do to get to heaven. Did my dad pile up a load of good deeds to present to God? Did he send a pile of money to needy people in remote parts of the world? He did buy me a set of Wilson Staff golf clubs, from which he took the 2-wood for his own driver, which I have not seen since. My answer is that he did nothing. As far as church was concerned, Mom would take us to Sunday school and Dad would pick us up at 11, so we didn't have to go to preaching. What about all the sinfulness that alienated him from our holy God? I'm sure he knew about it. but it didn't matter to him. He had no sense of its enormity or its ultimate consequence. All I remember, I don't remember the precise time I realized it, but he started attending church with us, even the preaching. Well, some men do that to help their business. Some do it to make peace in the family and please their wives. But it turns out that my dad started coming to church because he began to seek the Lord and felt he might find God there. Ah, you say. So he did do something. He sought the Lord. Yes, but Jesus says plainly that no man can come to him unless the Father draws him. So on our side, Dad was seeking the Lord, although I was still unaware of that at the time. But on God's side, God was seeking my dad and drawing him to faith in Christ. This went on for several weeks. Now, you should have already concluded a very central fact about salvation at this point. And I'm going to give every person credit that you have thought of this already. You probably thought being born again and getting a new heart, that sounds an awfully lot like something only God can do. I commend you. You are absolutely right. Salvation is totally a work of God. My dad's seeking and his ultimate finding God was all a work of God in his soul. Everyone is commanded to seek the Lord. But humans are broken by sin that entered the human race in the Garden of Eden. Sin is the number one problem in our world and the last problem that people in the world want to think about. If you wonder why evolution has taken the central focus as the origin of mankind, that is one reason: to remove us from duty to God as our creator. My dad was broken, like all men are at birth. We are without hope and without God in the world. We are natural men who do not know the things of the Spirit of God. We are dead in trespasses and sins. Our minds exist in darkness. Scientists even look at God's creation and figure backwards to a blob of matter that blew up and gave us, and all things, birth. How many of you have gotten a new car by throwing a bunch of spark plugs and wires into the dryer and running it until the car tumbles out? That's evolution. To be saved, we must be saved by God. To be born both the first and second time, we must be born by the power of God. So come with me back to the day in 1974. At Lynn First Baptist Church, Pastor Bill Holland was preaching. I don't remember the sermon. Serves me right with as many sermons as I preach that I don't remember either. On that day, to use biblical terminology, the Lord opened my dad's heart. He felt the guilt of his sins, and he wanted out of it. The pastor held the door of hope open to him, that if he would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he would be saved. He would be forgiven that great debt of sin. He would no longer be under condemnation for his alienation from God and from turning to his own way and against God's way. When the invitation was given, I, who was on the outside of the row nearest to the right side of the church, looked over, and my dad was looking at me with tears in his eyes. His miserable look told me I best get out of his way because he had a burden he wanted to be rid of. I really think if I hadn't moved, he would have bowled me over. I stepped out into the aisle, and he proceeded to the front to be led in prayer to place his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And while he was praying with the pastor, let me just point out a few more obvious facts you may be wondering about. Going forward in a church will not save you. Praying a prayer that someone guides you to pray will not save you. Of all the people who have gone forward to pray to receive Christ, the vast majority likely did not find Christ. We are saved by believing, not by doing. By grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. My dad went forward because the Lord had already opened his heart to believe. Remember that I said salvation was completely from the Lord. I've seen many people who believe for a little while, and soon their lives are the same as they were before. When that happens, you know they still have the old heart and not the new one. The dean of men in my college said there are three types of people: believers, unbelievers, and make-believers. Jesus told a parable of the kingdom of heaven, of life under heaven, and how things unfold in respect to the gospel declared to sinners. Some receive it, some reject it, but a significant portion receive it for a little while and are temporarily changed on the outside. Over time, and after their faith is tested, they fall away. My dad, on that day, received a new life he never fell away from. In the classic book, Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim lived in the city of destruction. Although it was the city of destruction, no one was really bothered by their eventual eternal destruction. However, Pilgrim found a book, the Bible, and in that book, he learned about his sin before God and God's wrath toward him. Everybody in the city of destruction had the same problem. But when Pilgrim read the Bible, he became aware of a great burden on his back. Everybody had it, but only Pilgrim was aware of it. And he sought diligently to have it removed, to be forgiven of his great sin. Little by little, over the course of weeks, the Lord showed my dad that he was a sinner in need of forgiveness and to be reconciled to God. The burden of sin that all men carry from birth began to grow larger on his back. On that Sunday morning, it became so heavy he could endure it no longer. And he saw in the gospel of Jesus Christ that he could be saved from it. The light dawned in his soul. My dad was saved by a work of God, and the burden of sin rolled off his back. He entered the church, the old dad. He left the church as my new dad. After church, I was so stunned, I couldn't speak for some time. I remember my dad remarking on the way home, "I guess I surprised a lot of people this morning." I couldn't respond. It was the most wonderful thing I could imagine, even at that point. But the real marvel of it all was what happened after that. The very morning after that Sunday, when he got a new heart and new mind and was a new man, my second dad, he was up before work reading his Bible in the living room and praying. As long as I remember, and I was living at home, this was his practice. I don't believe anyone told him to do that. He did it because he was now hungry for the Word of God, because he was a new man. He loved the Lord and wanted to spend time with him. If you've known my dad just within the last 48 years, then you knew the second dad. If you knew him before that, then you also are acquainted with the first dad. I'm not exaggerating when I say he completely changed. The contrast between the old and the new was stunning. In my dad's timeline, there is a major blip in 1974. And from then on, he had a new life. I can imagine what the men who used to run around with my old dad thought when they saw the new version. Some of you know what I'm talking about with my dad. You saw it too. Let me finish by telling you how that hidden transaction between God and my dad played out, and how you can have this if you have not been born again. In order to go to heaven, you must be perfectly holy. So we need two things: for our sin to be removed and for righteousness to be given. Before Jesus came, his death on the cross for us was symbolized by the sacrifices under the old covenant. A spotless lamb, for example, represented the holiness of Jesus Christ. A sinner would bring such a lamb to the temple and lay his hands on it, conveying his sins to the lamb, and in turn, taking the lamb's righteousness upon himself. When the lamb was then slain, the lamb was paying for the sinner's sins. The sinner then possessed symbolic righteousness for a time in anticipation of the one who would forever give us righteousness and forever take our sins. Jesus came as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When we believe in him, we transfer our sins to him, and he pays for them by dying on the cross. We get his righteousness in return, along with a new heart, a new mind, and a new life. Paul said that God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ is our substitute for all who truly place their faith in Christ. We die with him. We are raised with him. We ascend to heaven with him. The Father sees us as he sees his beloved Son. That's what happened to my dad. If you feel the same guilt before God that my dad felt on that Sunday in 1974, then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Jesus Christ will take your sin and give you a new heart. You won't be perfect until you get to heaven, but you will have eternal life and will never perish. And on top of all that, you will one day get to see a man who, by the same grace of God, lived two lives, my dad. Let's pray. Well, I'm grateful that I can say these things about my dad because of what you did. And Lord, how you are the model of how we can be forgiven and have a new life that you gave to my dad at that time. And to see it, Lord, after he lived for so many years in sin and alienation from you, and clearly an old man without a new heart. But Lord, on that day, and so much of it is still so vivid in my mind, you took out the stony heart and you replaced it with a heart of flesh, and you molded him and you made him into a new man. And that was not temporary. That remained from that day. He grew, but he remained a new man until his death. And I'm thankful, Lord, for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.